Morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege to be with you this morning. Thank you for joining us here. If you're a visitor, it's lovely having you with us. In case you maybe missed it, we had a men's camp this weekend. Okay. Lots of droewors was eaten. Much meat was sacrificed. Not to the Lord, but for ourselves. But above all, we met to the Lord, and it was really, really special. And I'm trusting that, ladies, you will see the difference coming from your super dads, your super husbands, as they come home. It's my privilege to share a message with you. But before I do that, I just want to make one quick announcement. On the 26th of November, we have a gesamentlike diens, a joint service. There should be, there we go. And this year, or this time of the year, we are down at the NG Church. Earlier this year, we were up here at Shofar, and the NG Church came here, and the Methodist Church came here. But this has become a wonderful tradition for us, as we once a year, sometimes twice a year, make a stand in the community that we serve God together. And so It's at times slightly uncomfortable, but after about 5 minutes, you get over yourself and you get over the other people that perhaps worship slightly differently. But in the end, we agree on one thing, that Jesus is Lord. And so it's a fantastic initiative that the NG Church initiated many years ago. And it's a wonderful opportunity to come together as the body of Christ in Franschhoek. So please diarize that, 26th. Of November, we're going to be down at the NG Church. So this morning, I'm wanting to share a message with you called Family Time. Everyone say Family Time. Family Time. And we've spoken quite a bit about family this weekend as the men. But this morning, we are inviting the whole family to come together and to essentially reflect on the Word of God. What the Word of God says about family. I can think up many things that may tickle your ears and amuse you for a little while around family stories, any die dinge en die nikke en die krikke van elke familie. If you're old enough, you will know elke huis het sy kruis. There's issues in every family. Nobody has a perfect family, but it's the family God has given us. And so this morning, as we kind of finish off this men's camp, I actually want to say the men's camp is only finishing at 11 o'clock. Everybody's now in the final throes, in the final straits of the men's camp. As I speak to the men, but speak to us as families this morning. And so the first point that I want to hold before us is that family is God's idea. It's His design. He thought it up. He decided this is how we want die mense gaan skape. In wat se context? In which context am I going to design and construct and knit together with these things? This is the structure, the unit in which God has decided to put creation in, mankind in. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here this morning because they really just say it a whole bunch better. So put your seatbelt on because we're going to have a few scriptures this morning. I'm trying not to be long, but there's quite a lot of scripture to get through because it says it so powerfully. So Genesis 1, 27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them." What a profound thought. Male and female, He created them. Mankind, male and female. Next, God defines how this male and female, how man and woman are to relate to one another. How do they interact? Genesis 2:24. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." The other translation says, "and cling." He will leave and he will cleave. And some of the men say, "Aina, mama, ek wil nie gaan nie." And so it's a bietjie van 'n toutrek tussen mama en die nuwe bruid. And anybody who's once again been around long enough knows at some time the apron strings need to be cut. There you go, my little blue-eyed boy or my little brown-eyed boy. You are now leaving your house and you must go and cleave to your wife. You must go and hold fast to her. And very often as we do marriage counseling, we often find that a lot of the issues that a couple have is because somebody never left. And so Skwinma is always in the picture. That's all I'm going to say about that one. You know what I'm talking about. A healthy marriage. We're talking about family this morning, family time. A healthy marriage is where somebody's left and they have hold fast to one another. Jolene often shares the story that her father is just an amazing father. He's all the years as she was down here in Stellenbosch and studying, he would come and he'd say, "Is your gelkies genoeg? Is your car nog al right? Let ek jou wiele check." You know, just checking on everything and making sure she's all right, setting up a meeting every time they see one another. And when we married, those meetings stopped because Richard is now in the picture. And so it was slightly traumatic for Jolene. It's like, "Papa? Ek's all right." Yeah, we left. But that is good because we've cleaved, because all the strings were cut, including the finance strings. All the strings were cut, and we've had to make it on our own. But that's been good for us. And so one of the other benefits, obviously, of this leaving and this cleaving, this coming together, is here in Genesis 1:28. It says, "God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Increase in number, also known as have babies. So I want you to see this. God blessed them. You know, the world's just perverted sex and it's just made a whole mess of it. But it was God's design. God thought up intimacy. God thought up sex. And he said, "You know what? I am blessing you. And as I bless you, I say, become more." What a profound thought that God loved us so much that he wanted more of us. And he said, increase in number. Have babies. I see some men are starting to get slightly nervous there in seats. Nie nog 'n kleintjie nie, asseblief, pastoor. But Psalm 127, verse 3 and 5 says it like this. "Behold, children are a heritage." Everyone say heritage. "Heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior or the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with him. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Sometimes our kids don't feel like a reward and certainly not like a heritage. We're like, "God, you can have them back. When they're grown up, I'll take them again." You know, when the tantrums are done, they've learned manners. But I want to encourage you, parents. You know, as I've been a parent now for 12 years, over the years, people have always said to me, "Onthou dit gaan vinnig." Remember, when you blink your eye, they're out of the house. And in the beginning, you're like, nappy stage, you're like, "This is not going fast enough." But they were right. At this stage, I'm trying to, I wil 'n baksteen op my seun se kop sit. Groei bietjie stadiger. Ek wil jou langer in die huis hê. Because I know it's just a few more years and then he's gone. And then he's doing his own thing. And then the two girls are behind it. I want to encourage us parents, cherish the years that we have with our children. They are a heritage and a reward. Now, I quickly want to speak about how the different roles of the family, we're speaking about family this morning, how the different roles of the family unit and family members fit together. And we've spoken a lot about the men this weekend. So I'm going to speak about the children in their absence. Don't know if that's fair or not, but please, parents, go and give them this message. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." Many of us here are still children. My gut feel is many of us still here have parents, even though we've gotten older and we've gotten more mature. I'm so conscious of the fact that every time I interact with my mom and my dad, whether I think they are slightly off or slightly right or slightly wrong, I always honor them in my interaction with them. Even though it's like, Mom, this is not really your business, but I will honor her and I'll speak kindly and I'll speak gently to her because I'm honoring her. It's important to honor our parents. The Lord says that it may go well with you. Obedience and honor, it's a big deal for kids, and it's a big deal for us as parents. You know, we often sit with our kids and we often have to say to them, jy praat met respect met my. I think I say that about 60 times a day. Okay, it's but exaggerating, but I'm conscious of the fact that I often have to speak to my kids, and we're gonna get to training up a child in the way that should go. But it's this constant pruning. It's this green little tree. And if you leave it, it will just sprout in all directions. It will grow like a wild bush. And you constantly have to have your dad or mom clippers here and say, nee, jy praat nie so met my nie. No, we do not talk like this in the house. Constantly cutting off the wild little shoots. Because the Bible tells us if we don't, you're sowing destruction and problems for your own family. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Next, how are parents to relate to their children? So we've just heard how children should relate to parents. How do we as parents relate to our children? Proverbs 22:6, train up. Everyone say train up. Let's say it again, train up. Okay, who likes training? Okay, I got 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's less than 10. Okay. So when we need to train up our kids, is it always fun? No. No, no, no. Training up your kids is hard work. It's inconvenient. You just want to do whatever you do, get your feet up. You don't want to sort out another fight about the same issue for the 10th time on that day. But if you don't, they will not be trained. And so as parents, we're called to train up the kid, keep him, no, 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 come a little bit left, no, 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 come back, we constantly have to walk behind our kids. And guys, we don't have long to do this. By 12, they're doing their own thing. By 12, they're pretty much grown up. You've only got a few years to push this tree in the right direction. We've got to train up our kids in the way that they should go. And here's the promise. If you do that, even when he's old, when she's old, they will not depart from it. We're sitting with too many frustrated, hurt, and broken parents that can't fix teenagers. And I'm not saying it's exclusively an issue if you didn't train them up, they're going to go off the rails. I'm just saying if we follow the word of God and we put in the hard miles, the hard yards early on, the Bible says we're going to eat the fruit of our training. In case you don't know, I'm preaching more at myself than at you. And I want to say something here about kids' church. Guys, we can't devolve, push away the responsibility of training up our kids to Melisa and the kids' church team. My vrou say amen. Okay? You will notice we don't discipline your kids on Sundays for two reasons. Number one, it's not our job. Number two, ons wil hê dit moet lekker wees vir hulle by die kerk. Okay? The responsibility for training up your kid, for instilling values and discipline, as parents, it's your responsibility. We come alongside, we help, from especially a spiritual point of view, but it's your primary responsibility as a parent. In case you don't believe me, look at this. Deuteronomy 6 says, these words that I'm commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting around your house and when you're out and about, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. Let's pretty much talk about it all the time. Families that don't talk are families in trouble. As soon as the communication stops between a parent and a child, it's going in the wrong direction. You speak to any person going into preteens, into teens, at that stage, you don't have that much control anymore. The only thing you've got is, did I put in the effort that at least they will still talk to me? Because at that stage, they're not really listening too much to what you're saying anymore. You had to say that a long time ago. And by the way, they do more of what they see than what you say, in case you didn't know that either. I think we all know that. And so I want to say to us then, we got to talk. We got to talk as families. We got to speak. As parents, your house must be filled with the voice of you interacting with your child. When you're out about lying down, getting up. We had a family meeting a while back because you know how it goes. It starts with little steps in the wrong direction. Just a little bit of attitude, just a little bit of disrespect. In as yom nifas fatni, in a week's time, it's going worse. You know what I'm saying? And so we were going down this downward spiral, and it gets to a point where you either lose your temper as a parent, which is not useful because God is not blessed by anger. And essentially, when you're shouting at your kid out of anger, you're damaging your own foundation. So listen, we've all shouted. I've shouted. I shout less now because I know it's not good. It's not good. You don't. You skree nie op jou kinders nie. Sometimes dad would say, stem bikkie dik maak, just to establish authority. But we don't shout at our kids. And so what we got to do is we got to talk at the right time. For the right result, you address the problem at the right time. And we didn't do that for a few days. And then it gets out of hand. And then you got to call a family meeting and say, okay, guys, it doesn't work like that. We don't treat our siblings like that. No, asienkie slaanie aan 'n meisiekie. We don't do that. And so we have to re-establish the rules and have this family talk. And you know, let me just be open here. You know, we were struggling with our kids just not respecting one another and kind of a lot of rivalry and a lot of fighting. And one night we had a worship night and we're like, guys, how are we going to sort this out? It's just, firstly, it's just draining for me and your mother, okay? But secondly, it's not good for you, this conflict. And so Jalene shared with us this the beautiful concept of serving one another, preferring one another. Om mekaar te dien. And I was like, you know what, we can talk the talk, but walking the walk is different. And so the Bible knows these things. The Bible, I've preached a message on our memory. We forget. We know what is right, but then old patterns, old habits creep in, and then we go off the compass. And it's not because we intentionally want to. We simply forget. It's what humans do. We're not perfect. This side of eternity, nobody's perfect. We forget. And so the Bible's built in insurance for us not to forget. It's called memorials. They used to put up stones every time they walk past. Dad, what is that stone about? Let me tell you, that's when this and this and this happened. So visual cues, visual reminders, visual mechanisms to help you remember. And that's what I love. I don't know much about, you know, the kind of the full-on Jewish faith, but I'm told they've got this thing called the mezuzah, which is these little things next to the doors, kind of at eye height. And so everywhere you walk through your door, through the front door, into the kitchen, your eye catches this thing, and Jeremy will be able to help us a bit better, but as far as I know, there's scripture in it that's meant to remind you everywhere you move around in your space, yes, this is how we serve God, this is how we interact. And so we took that idea. I don't know who got the picture. My wife got the picture of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, washing Peter's feet or somebody. And I think we printed about 1,000 of this. No, about 50, okay? And we stuck them up all over house. In fact, if you want to have a tour of my house, you will see little pictures of Jesus washing feet on the fridge, on the front door, in front of every kid's room, in front of our room. And so what's happened is the conversation is changing. So remember, it's din mekaar. William and Margaret, nie, ons werk, din mekaar. Papa, mama, din mekaar. Okay? And it's made a difference. And so we got to talk about these things. Recite them to your children. I got to go a bit faster here. I want to speak just very quickly about the heart of the Father. We've spoken to the men this morning, but Psalm 103 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Compassion should mark our interaction, fathers, with our children. Listen to this, fathers. Ephesians 6:4. Do not provoke your children to anger. The word provoke means to stir. Okay, jylle karring, né? Karring, roer. You get them riled up. You call forth that negative emotion. Don't tease your kids unnecessarily. If you know, my girls, they're different. I know the one, I can play around a little bit. If I do it with the youngest, I get fire from that redhead. I get fire. Oh, Dad! For what's funny for the one is, you got to know your kids, but overall, don't provoke your children to anger. Fathers, Colossians 3:21, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Okay? Moenie hulle karring dat hulle moed verloor nie. I want to encourage you as parents. Praise them more than you criticize them. Unfortunately, part of our heritage as South Africans is we often see the glass half empty rather than half full, okay? Rugby World Cups are helping us to overcome that issue that we have in our societies. We often show the negative before we praise the positive. And so as parents, if you're saying 3 negative things, guys, say at least 6 positive things about what your kid is doing right. And see how that changes the atmosphere in your house. Next, let's quickly look at how husbands and wives interact. We're talking about family this morning, how they ought to relate to another. And Stefan's already done an amazing job this morning of highlighting some of these scriptures. So I'm going to just fleetingly go over them. Ephesians 5:33 talks about love and respect. For what's important for women, for ladies, is to feel loved. Okay? Men, I think we can all put up our hands. We can do that better, including myself. Husbands, let each one of you love his wife as himself. I'll just leave that to sink in for a second. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, there's many things we can get over, but when we sense that you lost respect for us and you speak to us in a disrespectful way, it somehow pushes a man button in us that makes us go, argh. We can handle a lot of things, shopping sprees and the whole deal. But when we sense there's disrespect, I don't know, it's like the way God has just made us. Yeah, it doesn't go down that well. Ephesians 5:22 to 24. These are all scriptures, but I'm holding them before. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, whenever we say submit, some of the wives do this, and some of the men want to kind of, submit. you have to see this in context, guys. This is not a rod you take out to beat your wife with. Because I can tell you, a loved wife will not be told she needs to submit. I want to also point out, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Okay? Let's not get this confused in church, okay? Okay? You only submit to your own husband. Okay? Please, no wives submit to me. Okay? Spiritually, we can have a conversation, but when we're talking about submission in the context of the biblical understanding, wives, you submit to your own husband. Okay? So, I hope that makes sense. Let's move along. Husbands, yeah, guys, we got the hard part. 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, and that's still fine. And then Paul goes on, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As Christ loved the church, how did Christ love the church? He walked to the cross. He sweated blood because he didn't want to do it. He denied himself. If you are not denying yourself in your marriage from time to time, in loving your wife, I think we should have a conversation. Real love from a husband to a wife has got a sacrificial element to it. As Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Now, I'm getting to the end. I want to make a couple of general points about family, and then we're going to wrap up. Such a beautiful scripture in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. If I'm understanding correctly, Paul's writing to Timothy and he's speaking about Timothy's his faith here, and he says, I'm reminded of what I see. I'm reminded of this faith. And then he qualifies it. He puts it within family borders, and he says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and then in your mother, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. What is Paul doing? He's acknowledging the fact that godliness is an intergenerational matter. This is one of my favorite sermons, intergenerational living. I shared with you a while back, the Lord told me a couple of years back, I want you to live for four generations. I'm like, excuse me, Lord, four generations. Never thought of that concept. Then I realized we just see life in the context of our family albums. Kijk, hier is ek op my dag van geboorte, and one day they'll say something at my funeral. But God doesn't see us like this. He sees Richard in the context of all his grandfathers. We're talking hundreds, thousands of years ago. And then he looks ahead. Who's going to be all his kids? Who will they marry? See, God's outside of time. And he blesses not just individuals. He blesses individuals, but he blesses families. And so as soon as we become aware of the fact that my life has the potential to have an impact generations, 2, 3, 4 on, I start living differently. I start getting serious about training up my children because I know that which I put in them has got the chance to affect their grandchildren and their children. Wouldn't it be amazing that one day when we long and gone and our kids have had kids and they've had kids and somewhere they scratch out a photo of me and Jolene, they say, you know what? We've got a lot to owe and a lot to say about those two people, the stories we have heard. We walking in the legacy, what they've burned, the giants they slayed, the demons they killed, stuff we don't need to struggle with because they were there. And so that's what Paul is saying. He said, I see a sincere faith, but you know what? I see past you, Timothy. I see in your grandmother. I see how she prayed for you. I see the sacrifices of your mother. And so when I look at you, I see Eunice. I see Lois. And, you know, Jolene has got this incredible family, you know, on her mother's side, on her dad's side as well. But we talk about Oma Anaiki, okay? Oma Anaiki. I had the privilege of knowing Oma Anaiki for a few years. And William being around for a few years. I think Margaret was also around, great-grandmother. But I remember Oma Anaiki. You know, she was short. I think she shrunk. So she was probably about this tall at some stage, but when I met her, she was about this tall. But man, you know, she lived to what, 90, 92, 93, I don't know. And one day the Lord just came and fetched her in her sleep. And she just said, Ek voel nou so bietjie warm, ek gaan bietjie lê. And then she went to be with Jesus. But I remember, even though we were in completely different generations, I remember the godliness. And it's not like she was in a shofar church. It means she was in a reformed church. But the godliness was just immense. And I saw it, and I see it in her mother. I see it in Ronelle. And I see it in Jolene. And you know what? I've got the privilege of seeing it in my girls. They're the fourth generation that love Jesus. And so I want to encourage us, when we remember family, think intergenerationally because God sees it like that. I just want to say something here. If you come from a bad family, if you perhaps are orphan here this morning, God knows that and He remembers that. And He's made provision for that. In fact, His word says Psalm 60, 8 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families.
27 verse 10, even if my father and my mother left me alone, the Lord would take me in. I want to close off with one or two scriptures. I've spoken a lot about our natural family this morning. I want to end off with just a different thought, a New Testament thought, because Jesus obviously acknowledges natural family, but he adds a spin on this whole concept of family. And one day, he's standing doing what he's doing, and he gets told, your mother and your brothers and your, let me see, his mother and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told me, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you, Matthew 12. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, so right now you've got an opportunity to be offended with the word, because when Jesus spoke, I mean, let's not go to John and where he speaks about flesh and blood. Many times Jesus offended people. And right now, imagine mom and Boot and sister, they, Jesus, it's us. We know you're famous now. And he gets told, your mom and your family's there. And he's like, who's my family? Who's my mother? Jesus really tests us. The point he's trying to make is not that natural family is not important. He's just saying there's a different family, a spiritual family, and it's the family of the kingdom of heaven. You must remember that we have the privilege and the blessing and the opportunity to live for 70, 80 years if we are blessed, according to the word. But then, once that's done, every tribe and every tongue and every nation will appear before God, and God will call out his people and they will be his family. The bride and the bridegroom will be united. And so I want you to say this together. I have two families. If I'm a Christian, I have two families. And so that's why the church is important. Not this church, church as a concept. Because people that isolate themselves and put themselves outside of church don't understand the heart of God. The heart of God, as Paul says, it's a body, it's a finger that's joined to a hand, and the brain needs, it's whether it's a building. We're all stacked on top of one another to fit together for the glory of God. That's what the word says. When we fit together with Christ as the cornerstone and the apostles and the prophet as the foundations, we all are together, and that in our togetherness glorifies God. It's his idea. So when we decide, I am cutting off my pinky and I'm going to go and be a pinky all on my own as a pinky, it dies. Okay? It dies because it's not designed to live outside of the body. A Christian is not designed to live outside of the body of Christ. Not Shofar, not the Enchi Church, not the Methodist Church, outside of the body of Christ. Find a church, whatever, if you're not in this church, find a life-giving church. But church is the concept of God. And Jesus is coming back for his church. Natural family, spiritual family. Natural family, I want to close off with this. There will be issues, guys. There's always a brother or a sister. There's always an awkward moment around Christmas, around the dinner table. I don't know. If you have got absolutely carefree, where there's not the slightest bit of tension, please come speak to me. I'd love to interview you and just to hear how your family does a zero issue Christmas, okay? It's just that there's always a little vibe, always, okay, gee man, nou meer om vir die kleinkind van my broer of my sister. Even if it's not said, my percent is groter as jou percent. It's these little things. It's part of being part of a family. There's issues where there's people, there's politics. And so we cannot say, Lord, take them away. He doesn't work that way. He says, no, I put you in there. Work it out. Make it work. You've got my son. You've got forgiveness. Give and receive it. Colossians 3, verse 13. Be tolerant with each other. And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. Part of being part of a family, is learning to hold grudges loosely. The more we hold, the more we hurt. The more we release and bless and forgive, the more we are blessed. And so, we're going to pray in a second. My final scripture, Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We all have a choice. This morning we heard, gentlemen, men, the way God designed it, we're the head of the family. We lead. We cannot expect our wives to be the spiritual initiators, the spiritual heads of our families. They will take strain. We're all guilty of it from time to time. Maar die dae moet ophou waar ma vir die familie kerk toe sleep. Okay, I'm not going to preach Stefan's sermon again. He did an excellent job this morning. But I want to encourage us, men and parents, be the ones that say, as for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for every bit of truth that has been instilled and distilled. Most of all, we thank you for your word that speaks into this concept of family. We acknowledge, Lord, it is your design, your plan. Lord, we repent of breaking or attempting to break it. Walking out on marriages, Father, and not raising our kids. Being selfish and not loving our wives. Wives disrespecting husbands. Lord, it's all stuff that we do. So thank you for the gift of repentance. Thank you that this morning we can just once again bring it under the blood and say, Jesus, we are sorry. We're going to try again. And we want to honor you, Father, with the way we live out our roles in our families. And God, may we be the ones sitting here this morning, moms and dads, that say, as for us and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it will be clear and plain to those around us. I pray that each person, fathers and mothers sitting here, take up their roles according to Scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. I just want us, just for 5 more minutes, if you perhaps sitting here and you have got a family member with you, just to pray for one another this morning. If you don't have a family member, find a person next to you. We heard this morning, we're spiritual family, we're natural family. You got natural family, pray with your natural family. If you don't have natural family, pray with your spiritual family. And just pray for one another. Whatever comes from your heart this morning, based on the scriptures and based on the message, let's just bless one another. Moms bless dads, dads bless moms in their different roles. And then I'll close off for us in a second. Go for it. Let's pray.